It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front rear load truck drivers out there, all my bus drivers riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion, even though school is just about out. Think about another week or so, really, but either way it goes, I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, FedEx pilots, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well, including all of my volunteer air traffic control workers. Appreciate you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. I'm a local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my local mailmen, mailwomen, postal workers out there, making sure that people get their mail and packages in a safe and timely fashion as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, all my people making sure they're having a great stay wherever that may be, all my early morning, late night funeral home workers, all my local donut makers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, I hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday, and I appreciate you making me a part of your Tuesday morning. Again, hopefully everything is going according to plan for you this morning. Man, I got to tell y'all a quick story about yesterday. If I haven't told you yet, I'm now starting to, I've been probably for, I think this is just about a month. We're about a month in now, but I've started hosting trivia nights during at various locations during the week, during weeknights. So yesterday I was at the Little Hippo in Avondale Estates, and always a good time. Love doing it. Very fun. But I was, you know, leaving a pretty good time. I was fairly early. I was planning on getting there a little bit earlier than usual just because. And there's a gas station right by my apartment. Like, as soon as I leave my apartment, there's basically a gas station right there, right? For whatever reason, I don't know. The gas, like, it wouldn't pump. I don't know if they were out of regular gas or I don't know what happened, but I went to like two or three different pumps and each time was the same thing. Like, I'll get up to like, I'll go pay for it, put up my card, go to pump, and nothing would come out. Like, you know how you can finagle the thing, you know, the pump to where you can, you know, just have it rest and it just pumps and then it'll stop once it fills up. Yeah, I tried to do that a couple times. Even tried to hold it manually. Nope, nothing, nada. And then I knew it was the pumps once I saw another person have that issue. I was like, all right, now I got to go to a different gas station. And so I was planning on getting where I was earlier. I still got there a little bit earlier, but I pretty much got there right on time of when I usually get there. So I was like, gosh, dang it. Trying to be early somewhere. And I got held up 30 minutes trying to get dang gas. Because the gas station I stopped at the first time wasn't working. So I say all that to say, that's why I hope your Tuesday morning is going according to plan. Because, man, it's nothing more frustrating than when you got everything planned out. You're trying to execute said plan in a timely manner, and then some just random thing throws a monkey wrench all in your plans. Nothing more frustrating than that. So Hopefully that's not happening to you this morning. The Braves got a monkey wrench thrown into their plans of winning yesterday. We did get some good news, but there was some bad news as well. The bad news was the Braves got blown out last night. Hoo-wee, it was ugly. 12-0, the final score. The Marlins absolutely beat up on the Braves last night. And it was funny because my girlfriend Simone, she was like, man, what happened to the Braves tonight? And I was like, baseball. That's what happened to the Braves. Baseball. It's just over a 162-game season. You're going to have games like this. You're going to have games where you get blown out. You're going to have games where you absolutely blow the doors off other teams. But last night, the Braves were just on the bad end of a blowout. And it be like that sometimes. It just be like that sometimes, unfortunately. The Braves had J.R. Richie on the mound, and he did not fare too well. He goes 4 innings, gives up 6 hits, 6 runs, all of them earned, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Didn't give up a homer, which I guess was good, but man, giving up 6 runs, not a great start for J.R. Richie. And look, he's going to have these moments that he has to work through, and he's going to be better because of it. So, again, in his rookie year, he just has to – there are going to be, again, times where he gets got. And yesterday was just one of those times where he got. So I'm not too worried about J.R. Richie getting, beat up last night and getting, hit on last night. It just was what it was. And I honestly chalk up last night's loss to the game. It just wasn't the night for the Atlanta Braves. And I saw Aaron Bummer getting a lot of heat on social media. And look, I've never been the biggest Aaron Bummer fan. I've been saying it. Aaron Bummer has always been way too wishy-washy to me. I feel like he's too streaky, and I feel like there's no real in-between for Aaron Bummer either. I feel like he's either really good or he's really bad when he goes out there. I feel like there's really no in-between for Aaron Bummer. And, I'm sure there have been times where there is, where he's only given up a run or something like that, but it feels like every time I watch Aaron Bummer, I'm definitely on pins and needles, and I'm like, oh. This either is going to go one of two ways. This is either going to go really good or really bad. And I feel like that's what usually happens. And last night it was really bad. Aaron Bummer gives up three hits, two of them being home runs, one of them being that grand slam that he gave up. He gives up 6 runs in total and had 5 walks. 5 of them. 5 walks. So, man, Aaron Bummer, honestly, he might have been a little bit more stinkier than even J.R. Richie last night, because at least J.R. only had 1 walk. But, yeah, it was not good. And shout out to Didier Fuentes, Tyler Kinley, and Jorge Mateo actually came in and pitched last night. That's never good when you have a position player come in and pitch, and that's what we got last night. You don't give up a hit, though. But regardless, it was just one of those nights for the Braves. The Marlins were they just had the bats going last night. Scored 1 in the second, scored 5 in the sixth. Then they had 5 in the seventh, or 5 in the fifth. Oh no, I was right. They had 7 in the 7 in the fifth. 7 in the fifth. Excuse me. I was getting all my numbers mixed up. Anywho, they scored a lot of runs last night. That's all you need to know. And the Braves didn't score any. Braves only ended up with 4 hits last night. Drake Baldwin, Albies, Matt Olson, Mauricio Dubon, all hits. That was it. And they only had one. There was only one instance where the Braves had an at-bat with a runner in scoring position. And Jorge Mateo was 0-for-1. Now, they left 6 on base, but still, never. We're batting with runners in scoring position. So, again, just wasn't the Braves' night, and that's okay. That's going to happen. Out of 162 games, a long MLB season, it's going to happen at least once and probably going to happen again, more than likely going to happen again. So it is what it is. Now, you obviously just want to limit these type of nights if you're the Braves, but they're going to happen, and it's going to be okay. So it definitely sucks. Not fun to watch. Definitely makes you wince and go, ooh, really? It's going to be one of them nights, huh? It's going to be one of them ones. But At the end of the day, Braves have done a good job bouncing back after losses, and hopefully they do a good job of bouncing back after the loss last night. Now, we did get some good news from the Atlanta Braves, and that is he's back. Ronald Acuña Jr. reinstated from the IL yesterday. He was available to come off the bench, but he did not end up getting in the game, and there was no reason to put him in the game yesterday. But the Braves yesterday did reinstate Ronald Acuña Jr. from the injured list. They placed infielder Kyle Farmer on the 10-day IL, backdated to May 16th with a strained right forearm. So that's not great. But, again, good to have Ronald Acuña Jr. back. And you would maybe like to think that he'll definitely at least be able to come off the bench again tonight like he was last night. But maybe ends up getting in the starting lineup tonight. We shall see. But good to have Ronnie back. And hopefully we are through maybe these main injuries. And, you know, obviously we're still waiting on A.J. Smith-Shawver, Spencer Schwellenbach, Hurston Waldrop. We're still waiting on all of our, you know, young pitchers to come back. But as far as position player goes, once we get Sean Murphy back, hopefully we can be done with the injuries to the position players. And, again, look, it's a long season. Injuries happen, but hopefully, at least to our main guys, Ronald Acuña Jr., hopefully he can stay healthy for the rest of the year, and you can see him get going and start playing the way we know he's capable of and start playing at the MVP level that we know he can play at. So it was good to hear about Ronald Acuña Jr. being able to come back last night and being reinstated from the injured list. So that was nice to see, but again, wasn't good to see that Braves loss. Yesterday was a tough one for sure. Braves will be back at it tonight. That is one of the good things about baseball. You get blown out one night. Guess what? You get to bounce back the next day most of the time and go avenge that loss. Earlier start time today, first pitch set for 4:10 p.m. So an early start in Miami tonight, or really this evening, I guess I should say. I know my morning shift peeps are happy about that. I'm like, man, Braves are on early. Game will be over by no later than like 7 o'clock, worst case scenario. Like to hear that. So it'll be Martin Perez on the mound for the Bravos. Braxton Garrett on the mound for the Marlins. Garrett on the year he got roughed up, to say the least. And that's why these numbers I'm about to tell you are very, very much inflated. He is 0-1 on the season with I'm not joking, and I don't think this is a typo by ESPN, with a 33.75 ERA. Yeah, 33.75. He got roughed up. This is his last time out. Let's just say that. A 6.75 whip, and he only lasted an inning and a third. He got four outs his last time out. So, yeah, Braxton Garrett was not very good. So, look. You could very much have the opportunity to, you know, you gave up a 12 spot last night to the Marlins. If Braxton Garrett has another rough one, sounds like you could put up a 12 spot on the Marlins tonight, possibly. Anywho, hopefully the Braves have themselves a good outing today and bounce back and get the dab. Yep. But again, I'm not. Nothing really overall is worrying me about last night again, but besides Aaron Bummer. But again, it still was just one of them nights. And Aaron Bummer aside, I'm not worried about this Braves team. Aaron Bummer, again, it to me always makes me feel a little weird. I feel like, again, I'm always on pins and needles when it comes to him. But other than that, not worried about it. It's just last night is something that happens to every Major League Baseball team probably a couple of times throughout the course of a 162-game season. So that is what it is. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we're going to talk a little Atlanta Falcons football. OTAs underway for the Falcons. And I saw a very interesting article yesterday that I want to talk about. Who is the hidden treasure for the Atlanta Falcons? Who's that unsung hero for the Falcons that nobody talks about? Could he be that guy this season too? Talk about it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Taking a look at the top local sports stories with the Hometown Take.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. 5:22 here on a Tuesday. Appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, you want to make sure you search for the radio station, 92.9 The Game. Once you find the radio station, follow and subscribe to all the great shows on the station as well. My show, obviously, The Hometown Take, The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse Midday Show with Andy, Randy, Dukes and Bell, Chris Thomas tonight, all of our great weeknight shows. We got The Night Drive with my guy Don Cherosky on Monday nights. We got Prep Sports Nation, which I'll tell you more about. Next segment with my guy Damian Dede Lewis. That's on Wednesday nights. Then we got The Intersection on Thursday nights with my girl Noelle White, who's doing a great job holding it down behind the glass right now. And Jason Longshore, my main man Longshore. And then we have our great weekend shows as well, too. Obviously, Sam and Greg holding it down in the weekend mornings. We got the From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. College Ball Game Time, all the great shows. Make sure you follow and subscribe to them. Follow and subscribe to the station. When you do that, then you're really be in the game because then you get live push notifications about when shows go live, live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You'll be able to get live push notifications about when new audio and articles upload to the website. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their entirety. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite segments and interviews from your favorite shows as well. You'll be able to do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So download that thing on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. All right, I found an interesting article on Bleacher Report yesterday, and it was Bleacher Report listed every roster's best-kept secret heading into the 2026 OTAs. And obviously the Falcons getting their OTAs going early this week, and Bleacher Report listed Brandon Dorlus as the Falcons' best-kept secret. And they said this on Dorlus, quote, Brandon Dorlus needed time to develop after contributing little as a rookie. The second-year defensive lineman became an integral part of the Atlanta Falcons' defensive rotation in year two. In fact, the Oregon product finished second on the team with 8.5 sacks. The Falcons made a concerted effort to improve their pass rush last offseason and did so by adding a pair of first-round picks in Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. Dorlus' emergence as an interior pass rusher made the group even more effective. The former fourth-round pick should take on a full-time starting role this fall and provide the Falcons with an athletic and disruptive presence to make life easier on those names screaming off the edge. Look, can't disagree at all. Brandon Dorlus was a huge part of what the Falcons were able to do as far as rushing the passer goes, creating that interior pass rush presence, being able to collapse the pocket from within, because it feels like what the Falcons have desperately been missing, and they even needed it a little bit more when the Falcons had Grady Jarrett, because Jarrett was a Pro Bowler. He was really, really good, but Grady never had any help, so we always got double-teamed, and there was just nobody there to help Grady make the interior of the pocket collapse. So now when you have Dorlus and when Rook obviously was a part of the part of it last year too, along with Dorless on the interior, along with other guys as well. You have guys now that can consistently create that and help collapse the pocket from within, and that allows the Jalen Walkers of the world, the James Pierce Juniors of the world, this year hopefully the Azeez Ojulari's and the Samson Ebukams of the world, that hopefully that'll help them go get some sacks and have the same type of success the Falcons had last year, getting close to, what, 60 sacks, had 57, and was second in the league with that number. But Brandon Dorless most definitely was a huge part of the Falcons' pass rush, and he is definitely, again, going to be an integral part of their pass rush this year. So it's hard for me to disagree with that when it comes to Brandon Dorless as far as the team's best-kept secret. And it also got me thinking on the Falcons could be that guy that is very, very good, but just flies in the radar and is very underrated. When I first think about that, I do think about A.J. Terrell, but A.J. Terrell does get pretty high praise. I do think he's still slightly underrated because people look at his lack of interception numbers and try to kind of play down how good he is because of it. And it's like, he don't get interceptions because people know not to throw to him. They know if they throw his way, it's clamped up, it's locked up, and it ain't going to work. That dog ain't going to hunt throwing A.J. Terrell's way. So I do think A.J.'s a bit underrated, but I don't think he's quite underrated enough to where you would say that he flies under the radar. But he's close, though. A.J., I think, could definitely be in that conversation. Also, when you think about this, you think about maybe some offensive linemen. Now, I do think Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom obviously are the two high-profile names on the Falcons, and I think they're fairly rated at this point in their respective careers. I think Matthew Bergeron could end up being maybe that guy. I know he had a little bit of an up-and-down season last year in year two, but I think this is a guy who could, you know, have a little bit of a bounce-back year, if you will, in year three, and he could maybe be that guy for the Falcons this year. We'll see. Hopefully it ends up being like a guy like Juwan Taylor too. That would be nice for the Falcons if he, you know, comes in and plays well and he kind of flies on the radar but ends up being, you know, one of the better right tackles in the league for the Falcons. That would be a nice thing for the Falcons. Now, as far as other guys on defense, I'm not sure. Divine Diablo, definitely in that conversation. I mean, the Falcons didn't win a game with him out of the lineup last year. I think that says enough. And obviously, he's not a guy that's heavily talked about across the league. So I think Divine Diablo definitely could be at the top of that conversation now that I think about it. So he might be right up there. Him and Dorless might be like a 1A, 1B type of deal. So I think that would be a good shout. So I think there are a couple of guys who fit the category of really good, play very well for your team, just kind of fly under the radar. So I think the Falcons have a few guys that could probably fit that category. But I did think that was interesting as far as Bleacher Report putting out the best-kept secret for every NFL team and choosing Dorless for our team. I think that's a pretty good shout. I think that's a little bit of ball knowledge shown there by Bleacher Report, so kudos to them. Thought that was a pretty good write-up. So hopefully, again, Brandon Dorless continues to make a name for himself this season, keeps balling out, and gets even more well-known throughout the NFL, including Divine Diablo and other guys as well, too. So we'll see how that all plays out. But Falcons have started OTAs, and you had two out there yesterday. Michael Penix was out there as well. So I guess the quarterback competition is on and going. But good to see both of those guys out there yesterday. And look, it will be interesting to see how it all plays out. But they are putting out videos of Tua throwing. Obviously, they put out a video late last week. I think it was Friday of Michael Penix Jr. throwing. put a picture out of KP, the lineman working. And speaking of Brandon Doyce, put a video of him working yesterday. So they got all the picture of Drake, too. We got all the guys working. And I'll say these practice jerseys, clean. Just to put that out there real quick, too. Practice jerseys looking clean. And I saw our guy, Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider reporter for here at 92.9 The Game. He was like, it is so nice to see the Falcons have a nice font again. So Joe was happy about it for sure. But if you're wondering, because it used to be a situation where, like, I don't remember if it was the defense. I think it was like the offense wore white, defense wore black, and then the quarterbacks wore red. Well, now that we have primarily red jerseys, it's kind of switched up a little bit. So defensive guys are wearing white. Offensive guys wear, and then now the quarterbacks are wearing black jerseys. Those obviously the quarterbacks have the standout jerseys to let you know, hey, no contact. Don't be hitting up on the quarterbacks, taking them to the ground, all that good stuff. But yeah, I definitely think even the practice jerseys to me were looking clean yesterday with the Falcons out there at OTAs. But it'll be again interesting to see how the ongoing quarterback competition between Michael Penix Jr. and Tua plays out. And I don't think we'll be able to really take anything away from OTAs for real. Like, it's not going to be a situation where we'll be like, Michael Penix Jr.'s got the lead. Tua's looking better right now. I mean, these guys are not in pads. They're in shorts and they're doing, they're not doing anything crazy out there right now. So I wouldn't take anything. I don't think there is anything really to take away so far as the quarterback competition goes, at least. So that is what it is. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we got to talk about the absolute cinema that was game one of the Western Conference Finals. Double overtime, Spurs get it done, and still game one on the road, take over home court advantage. We'll get into it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. Hope y'all are doing well. I appreciate you tuning in. 5:42 here on a Tuesday. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Each Wednesday night, make sure you join my guy Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the states. Brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We have to talk about the absolute cinema that was game one of the Western Conference Finals. Last night, the San Antonio Spurs in double overtime take down the Oklahoma City Thunder 122-115. And Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, goes off. 41 points, 24 rebounds for Wemby. Three blocks. Yes, three blocks when a steal for Wemby as well, too. 14-25 from the field. Hit a huge three-pointer. Man just pulled up in transition like he was Steph Curry and absolutely knocked down. I think it was either, I can't remember if it was a go-ahead three or game time in three, but it was a huge three that he hit. And again, just in transition, casually pulled up, all 7 foot three or however tall he is of himself, just pulling up from three and said, yeah, I'm just going to knock this down in crunch time real quick. No big deal. I mean, dude should not be able to do stuff like that at his height, but he is. And Wimby, Ali Mack and I were talking about it in the bullpen. Wimby stays healthy. Dude's going to be a problem for a long time. If he can stay healthy, put maybe a little bit more meat on the bones, help him be a little bit more durable, help him bang down low a little bit more. But overall, if he can just stay healthy, Wimby's going to be a problem, dude. He's going to be an issue. He's going to be an issue for sure. He got some help. He got some good help last night, too, though. All five starters scored in double figures. You probably would hope so in a double overtime game, so that kind of is what it is. But still, good nights from Devin Vassell. He went 5 of 12 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3. Stephon Castle, 17 points. Didn't shoot great. He was 1 of 6 from 3, 5 of 14 from the field, but he had 6 rebounds and 11 assists. Now, he also had 11 turnovers, so he has to fix that for sure, but Dylan Harper played pretty well. Again, didn't shoot great. The Spurs overall didn't shoot great from three. They shot 30% from three, 43% from the field. But Harper had 11 rebounds, 6 assists, only 1 turnover. So that was good. Very good stuff from Dylan Harper. And they got 13 points off the bench from Keldon Johnson as well. He shot. He's probably the best Spur when it comes to shooting. He was 4-9 from the field, 3-6 from three. But, man, it was that. That was a fun back and forth game, and if we can get if we can get 6 or 7 games like this, buckle up, buttercup, because this is going to be a heck of a series. Now, as far as the Thunder go, they didn't get the balanced scoring that the Spurs got. Again, Spurs had all five guys. Had all five starters, I should say, in double figures. One guy off the bench in double figures in Keldon Johnson. It was a little bit more sporadic for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jalen Williams, J-Dub, was back from, he'd been battling a left hamstring injury. He came back and had a nice game. 26 points, 11 to 25 from the field, 1 to 3 from 3. SGA, who got his MVP award last night, had that spoiled. But he had 24 points. He didn't shoot well either. He was 7-23 from the field, 2-7 from three. Did have 12 assists, though. But those are the only two guys that scored in double figures for them as far as starters go. But they did get a huge boost from Alex Caruso. 31 points for Alex Caruso off the bench. 11-19 from the field, 8-14 from three. Absolutely flamethrowing from three Alex Caruso was. And they got some solid bench production. 8 points for Cason Wallace, 7 for McCain. I only got 4 from A.J. Mitchell, who was in the starting lineup for a bit until Jalen Williams came back. And he did a good job in the starting lineup, but didn't do too much in 34 minutes last night coming off the bench. So, again, the scoring a little bit more sporadic for OKC. But, I mean, when it comes to that, if you're OKC, you're going to want Chet to be able to get a little bit more involved offensively. You're going to want a little bit more from maybe your bench as well, too. Didn't shoot. Now, neither team shot great, but the OKC definitely shot way better from three than the Spurs did, and that's kind of what kept them in the game, was their good three-point shooting and really the good three-point shooting from Alex Caruso. Now, in their own respects, Cason Wallace and Jeremy Cain both went 3-6 from three, so that was good shooting. Cason Wallace went 2-5 from three. Jeremy Cain 1-3 from three. I was looking at their field goals. My bad. But when it comes to these final plays down the stretch of the game, because to me, that's what it's going to come down to. I feel like all these games are going to be close, and it's going to come down to crunch time, and it's going to come down to which guys are going to come up clutch, which guys are going to be ready for the big moment, and whose go-to guy is going to be better. Is it going to be SGA? Is it going to be Victor? And last night, Victor proved to have the advantage. I mean, because, bro, it's just – and I was wondering this too, and I know part of it is to protect the paint, and I'm wondering why we didn't see more of the – Wemby on Chet when it got down to crunch time. And I know both guys want to protect the paint on defense, and you had both Chet and Wemby doing some things on the perimeter in those final moments of the game throughout, you know, the fourth quarter, overtime, double overtime. So I get that aspect of you want both guys to protect the paint, so you don't want either of them pulled out by guarding each other. I do get that part of it, but, man, it's just so easy for Wemby to get to his spot and just rise up over whoever. If he's not guarded by Chet, that might have to be an adjustment that's made for Mark Daigneault, the Thunder head coach. So, to me, that maybe is one adjustment that could be made on the case of the Thunder, on the side of the Thunder, is that in crunch time, I know you want Chet protecting the paint because you got some good slashers. When you talk about Stephon Castle, De'Aaron Fox didn't miss game one, but you would think he's probably going to be back. But, I mean, it's just that game-time bucket that Wemby made to force, I think it was the first overtime, that was too easy. That was way too easy. So it's going to be fun to see what adjustments now are made, the chess moves that are made as this series continues on. But, and I mean, because Chet, he made a big block on Wemby to force the first overtime at the end of the game. And because the Spurs did have a chance to win it. So it'll be interesting to see. I do wonder if we'll see more down the road in crunch time, more of Chet guarding Wemby and Wemby guarding Chet. We'll see. But either way it goes, it was a very, very fun game last night. And we'll see if we get a good game tonight, as we're going to have game one between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals going down tonight again. And I talked about this on the extended version of the Hometown Take that I did on Sunday morning into the afternoon. I was on from 10 to 1. And I think the Cavs can have a good shot at beating the Knicks. I think they have enough firepower, and I think they can do enough defensively to beat the Knicks. But if the Knicks continue to shoot the way they've been shooting, and I would expect their defense to remain at that same intensity that it's been at for the past six games, last two games against the Hawks, and the four games against the Philadelphia 76ers in the semis. But if they can keep up their offense, and if they can keep shooting the way they've been shooting the ball, absolutely lights out, it's going to be a tall task for the Cavaliers, man. Going to definitely be a tall task for the Cavs. But I do wonder if rust is maybe going to be a little bit of a factor for the Knicks. Now, the Knicks obviously have been practicing and all that, but they've had a good amount of time off between game four of the Eastern Conference semifinals in that series against the 76ers and tonight game one against the Cavs. So I do wonder if rust ends up being a factor and if that could have maybe taking a little bit of the juice out of their good shooting that they had going. So I will be watching for that. And the Cavs, obviously, just playing game seven, what was that, Sunday? They're going to be, I don't know if fresh is the right word, but in a rhythm. You could say fresh is the right, because they had a night off. But still, they'll be more so in a rhythm. And I do wonder if that'll affect at least game one tonight. So I will definitely be watching out for that for sure. But I do expect two very good conference final series, and we'll see what happens between the Cavaliers and the Knicks game one tonight. And that game is going to be at 8 o'clock on ESPN. So we'll see how that all plays out. I do want to bring up some very, very quick NFL headlines. The NFL is probably going to award the 2028 draft to Minneapolis. So looks like the 2028 NFL draft going to be in Minnesota. The 2030 Super Bowl going to be in Nashville. That should be pretty fun. Wonder if how, what if, let me just put this out here real quick. Falcons have enough time to get their ish together by 2030. Make a little drive to Nashville. Take over Nashville, Atlanta. Huh? Well, we can make those plans. Start saving up now for your tickets. Look, we got time. Between now and 2030 to a team to become Super Bowl contenders. Make a little drive down to Nashville in 2030 and pack out the Super Bowl. Make it a unofficial, official home game. I think that sounds pretty good to me. We'll see. Hopefully the Falcons can do it. Either way, I'm being tongue-in-cheek there. But, hey, you never know. Could happen. All right, that is my time. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Morning Shift coming up next. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Ali Mack, ready to hop in the Kia Studios and entertain you for the next 3 hours. I'll be hanging out with them as well. That's coming up next here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Until I talk to y'all tomorrow, Noel, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great Tuesday. Peace.